Distinguished trustees, faculty and staff members, graduates, family members, and friends. Nam Dumal. I'll try that again. Nam Dumal. Okay, that's all I call Jin. I'm so happy to be here with you today. This is a great privilege for me to be invited here and to be able to speak to you and to address you as graduates and distinguished faculty and friends. And I pray that this will be a message that through which God speaks to each of you, just the word that you need to hear on this very special day. Graduates, this is the first day of the rest of your lives. Now that's true for all of us. But this well-known saying takes on special meaning on this graduation day. In the United States, we call this Commencement Day. As you probably realize, commencement means beginning, not the end. We are here to celebrate the successful completion of your academic work. You have a lot to celebrate. You've worked hard. And your work and your achievement is noteworthy and it should be recognized and honored. And so this is a special day recognizing all that you've done so far. And yet we're also here to mark the beginning of all that's ahead for you, because this is a significant turning point. You are now prepared to do something in the future that you couldn't do previously, because now you have a new degree and you're in a new place, in a new position. So my question for you is this: what kind of future are you hoping for? What are the desires of your heart? Another way to ask this question is, what is your vision for your future? What do you think God's vision for you might be? Now, you may not know many details at this point, but what do you know? What can you know at this point? Well, a good starting place to answer this question is found in the Bible. The Apostle Paul summed up the gospel and the Christian's purpose for life in three very well-known verses, taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. There Paul says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And that is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he, God, prepared in advance for you to do." Any vision that you have for your future needs to be built upon the foundation of God's grace. God is the one who created you. God is the one who loves you. Nobody knows you as God knows you. And God has reached out to you to express his acceptance and love and value for your life. God is the one who provided a way of salvation for you. And he's called you to serve his good purposes in this world. So much grows out of God's love and acceptance and grace. And so much depends upon God's good purposes for your lives and for your future. Paul said, "You are God's workmanship." Now, you may not know that English word very well. Don't worry, many Americans don't know that word either. But what does it mean to be God's workmanship? It means that you are in God's mind, something beautiful and wonderful. And he's reached out to you through his Holy Spirit. He's put faith in your hearts. He's called you into a relationship with him. And his Spirit is at work in your life, making something beautiful, even more beautiful. He is at work in your life, crafting, building, shaping, developing you for unique purposes. What you've been called to do, nobody else can do. Oh yes, other people can preach and teach and serve and give. And there's so many things that so many of us can do. But nobody is called to do what you're called to do, where you're called to do it, with the people with whom you're called to do it. This is so important in Christian theology, that you understand where your life comes from, and that you understand that nobody can do the job that you've been assigned to do. Nobody. It's a wonderful privilege to be God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And he says that Paul says that these good works that he has prepared were prepared in advance. That means before you were born, God already had in his mind that he was going to use you for good purposes. But do you think that there's a need for men and women of God in our present society, in Myanmar, in Chin State? Do you think that there's a need for you to offer what you have to offer uniquely in your setting? Yes, there is. And I hope you believe it. I hope you believe it. Because so many of us are tempted to look at the people around us and we compare ourselves to others. Right? You've done that. You look at this person, you think he's stronger or smarter. She's more beautiful or more talented. But you see, what Scripture says is we should not compare ourselves to other people. Because what other people do has nothing to do with your calling. What someone else is able to do has nothing to do with what God wants to do in your life. You have a purpose. You have a calling. Through God's workmanship. Prepared to do good works which God has prepared in advance for you to do. So, what are those good works going to be? What are you going to do? Do you have a plan? Do you have a vision? What's next? Well, when I graduated from college, I really had no idea how to answer that question. And I don't think you're supposed to when you're just graduating with the degrees you're graduating with. Because having a plan for your whole future really isn't what vision's about in the New Testament. The Christian vision isn't so much about everything that you're going to do. It's about the kind of person that you're going to become. It's about your attitude, your faith, your perspective. It's about going forward with a certain type of confidence that God has called you and that God's going to use you. That's the vision we're really talking about. That's the vision that's going to make a difference for your futures and for Chin State and for Myanmar. Well, when I graduated, pretty much all that I knew was that I wanted to be a minister. And I was very glad to be done with school. And so I jumped into a job at church, in my home church. And I served full time for a year. I worked so hard. I worked sometimes 7 days a week. I really wanted to make a difference. I really wanted to contribute. I wanted to make my mark. But as time went on, I worked really hard and some good things happened. But I started getting tired And I realized that there were so many challenges that were bigger than I was. So many things I didn't understand. So many things I still needed to learn. And so I went back to school. I went to seminary. And there I studied and I volunteered. I worked in a prison, a hospital. I worked in a youth group and a church. I tried to learn as much as I could from my teachers and from the experiences. And I did learn a lot. And I graduated again. And then at this point, I was a pastor. And I was so proud, so eager, so ready to save as many people as I could save. Well, the funny thing was, the ministry was much harder than I thought it was going to be. And so I thought that when I became a minister, that our church of 100 people would soon become 200, then 300, maybe 500, who knows, maybe 1,000. And so I worked really hard. There were 100 people, and then there were 90 people, and then there were 80 people. We were going the wrong way. Because I had a lot of old people in my church, and they were dying. So I worked really hard, and we got 80 back to 90, then to 100, then 110, and I was tired. And I realized that there was still so much that I didn't know, so much that was difficult for me. And then things started going wrong. I got sick. We had a baby who died. My mother got a disease called Alzheimer's disease. It's a mental disease. For 14 years, I had to watch her slowly decline. These were difficult times. So much I didn't understand. I thought I knew so much, but I realized there was so much I didn't know. And so I went back to school again. And I earned what they call a PhD in New Testament studies. This was a good program. I learned so much. But I kept realizing that the more I learned, the more I realized how much I still needed to learn. And so when I graduated with my degree, I thought, now I'm ready, finally. Now I'm going to go back into the church and I'll do something great there. Or maybe God will call me to teach in a school. But God had a different idea. God surprised me again. And this time he sent me to a ministry to work with troubled youth. It was a mission in the United States. And for 10 years, I worked in a program to try to develop and reach young people who didn't know Christ, to bring them love and hope and the gospel. Well, many came to faith in Christ. Many were encouraged. We had a chance to work with 1,200, 1,300 youth every single year. It was a big, growing program. I was grateful for the opportunity to serve. But inside of me, I knew that God was calling me to something else. At first, I didn't know what, but I felt that God, I was neglecting my teaching gift. And so I went to a place called Bulgaria 3 times. And I knew this is what I should be doing. And so we prayed and I talked to my mentors. And I kept seeking God's will. God, what is the good work you want me to do? What is the ministry? And so as I continued to seek God's calling, I remembered that I had been invited by a Hakka Chin to come to Burma. His name was the Reverend Chung Lian Bu. At the time, he was the academic dean of MIT in Yangon. Well, I was going to school with him in Chicago. And when we both graduated, he turned to me and said, would you consider coming to Myanmar? We need teachers there. There's so many challenges. But we don't have enough professors for our schools. And at the time, I was quite surprised because he had told me how many problems there are here. And he told me how many challenges there were and how people were suffering. And I didn't feel like this was something I could do. I was an American. I had little children. I never thought of this. I was surprised. And I said, thank you, but no thank you. And so he went back here to Myanmar, and I went on and did this other ministry with the youth, and I worked in many different capacities. But I never forgot his invitation. I never forgot him. We stayed in contact. We were friends. His children came to live in my house, went to school in America. So we kept in contact. And when I realized that God was calling me to do something that he had put in my mind many, many years before, to serve overseas as a teacher, one day, I knew the time was right. One day, finally, I said yes. And so in 2007, I came here for the first time for just 2 weeks. I was too scared to come more than that. I didn't know what it was. But I came and I taught at MIT and I visited some places and I fell in love. I fell in love with the Burmese people, the Chin, the Kachin, the Karen, the people in my classes. And I fell in love with your country. And so as soon as I could come back, which was in 2009, I came for 2 months. Then the next year I came for 4 months. And little by little, I kept adding more time so that now, every year, I come for 4 to 5 months, teaching one semester at MIT and then traveling and teaching in other places. We created Faith, Hope, and Love Global Ministries because God convinced us, my wife and me, that we had a new ministry. Something I knew nothing about when I was your age, graduating. You see, this whole life, it was this whole ministry that began as a young graduate from college, where I had this great idea and vision of serving God and doing great things. I had no idea what God had in mind. Just as many of you really don't know how God's calling you. It's been a wonderful journey, a fabulous journey. But what I did know is that I love God and I wanted to serve Christ. I knew I wanted to give myself into Christian service wherever God might lead. And I knew that there was nothing more important to me, nothing greater than serving the Lord. And that's what I gave myself to. That's what I committed myself to. Not an answer for the future, not a specific plan, but I gave myself to God. I gave myself to Christ. And I said, God, where you lead is where I'm going to go. That was my vision. That's all I could know. But it is what I could commit myself to at that young age. And now I look back and I realize God's hand was on me all the way along. I had the opportunity to get a lot of education. I served as a pastor of a church. I had a chance to get a PhD and teach in colleges and seminaries. And then I led a parachurch, not-for-profit organization for 10 years. The people in my life looked at me and they said, you don't know what you want to do. How can you explain this very diverse career? I said, I don't know. I'm just trying to follow God's leading. And each step along the way made sense at the time. Well, today, what am I doing? I'm preparing men and women to become ministers. I'm coaching and teaching pastors how to lead organizations and how to be spirit-led leaders in their context. I'm advising people who are writing master's theses. And I realized that all of these experiences that God gave me prepared me to do what I am doing now. But I didn't know about today when I was your age. And so, what I'm trying to illustrate by my own story is that when you commit yourself to following Christ and serving to the best of your ability, you commit yourself to working hard, serving, growing, learning, even learning through the pain and suffering that you're going to experience. When you commit yourself to that, you can trust God to guide you. He's going to use all of these experiences to prepare you for future ministry. What you do today is important. What you do tomorrow will be, in part, prepared today. What you do in a year or 5 years requires what you're going to do now for the next 5 years. You see, that's how God works. That's how He's worked in my life. And that's how He's going to work in your life. I promise you that this is His will for you. You are now God's workmanship, but the work isn't finished. God's going to continue to do His good work in you. The Apostle Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 6, he said that He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete that work, and He'll carry it on to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. And then in the next chapter, he says, to us who've heard that truth, who've heard that promise of God's work, he writes these words. He says, you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because God is at work in you, enabling you to will and to do what pleases Him. So, Paul is teaching us something very important about the spiritual journey. He's teaching us that, as you know, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that was the beginning, not the end, of your spiritual journey. When you graduate today, that's the important moment. But as we've already said, it's the commencement of something more. And it's so important for your future as ministers and servants, whether it's in the church or in business or teaching or wherever it is, that you see your life as an ongoing journey in which God is at work continually to develop you more and more and more. Really, we could say that the Christian journey involves God working and you working. God is the one that does the really important work, because He changes your heart and He changes your mind. And He works through you to touch other people's lives in beautiful ways. But your work is to stay close to Him. Your work is to keep listening for the voice of the Spirit. Your work is to keep saying yes to God when you're tempted to say no. Your work is to renounce sin and reject those temptations so that you can say yes to all the good things that God intends for you. That's the work to which you must be committed every day. You see, it's a little confusing at school because you work for 1 or 2 or 4 years and then it's finished. You get your diploma and hooray, we celebrate. So in your mind, you think it's done. But not so the spiritual life. Not so your calling. It's never done. But that's the good thing. Because do you want it to be done? Do you want God to be finished with you? I don't. I have so much more that I hope and pray God will do in my life. And I hope and pray that for you. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. And so this morning, my charge to you is that you will embrace these things that I've been talking about. There's so many more things I would like to be able to tell you, of course, that I don't have time for on graduation day. But what I'm hoping to do today is point you in the right direction, to clarify a little bit for you about what this spiritual journey is all about, and to set you off with the right attitude, the right perspective for your next steps and for many, many steps to come. Your part is to keep trusting. Your part is to keep delighting in God and to keep seeking Him day in and day out. Your part is to stay humble. We'll let you be proud today, you graduated. But you have to stay humble in spirit, because that will allow you to continue to be teachable, so the Spirit can keep teaching you and forming you. Your part is to keep serving Jesus Christ with strength and courage as God provides it. And then when times get tough, and they will get tough, when things are shaking, you're not sure what to believe or what to do, don't quit believing in God. Don't quit believing in Jesus Christ. Don't quit believing in your call. Don't sell out when you get in positions of power and authority, because you will. Don't give in to the temptation to be corrupted, to start serving yourself instead of serving the people. Don't sell out. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on your call. And you will see, God will bless. God will work in you. And your work will not be wasted. God will do good things through you. That's the promise. That's God's vision for you. And what He's done now is beautiful. What He's going to do is even greater. And it's partly for you, because He loves you. But it's even more for everyone whose life you're going to touch. Your future spouse, your children, your church, your community, your country. There's so many people who will be looking to you for you to bless them with your life. Will you accept that call? Will you accept it and embrace it and humbly believe that God is going to do wonderful, good things in your life if you just cling to Him, trust Him, and serve Him with all your hearts? My blessing for you is this. May God enable you to keep believing, to keep delighting in the Lord, and to keep serving faithfully all of your lives. And as you do, may you experience all the riches of His love, mercy, and grace.